Hi, I'm Richard, the founder of 10 Adventures, and this is the 10 Adventures podcast. Each week, we talk to real people about real adventures as they explore this incredible planet we all live on.
Today on the 10 Adventures podcast, we're talking with Juan Carlos Gonzalez, co-owner of Andes World Travel, an adventure tour operator based in Colombia that operates throughout South America. They specialize in mountaineering trips as well as trekking and other adventure holidays. I want to talk to Juan Carlos about mountaineering for beginners in South America. Hi, Juan Carlos.
Hey, how are you doing?
Good. Welcome back, I should say. I'm really excited to learn about beginner mountaineering trips. I know people have gone to South America to get their first big summit, and I really want to hear what it's like. I know a lot of people, they've been sitting at home during the pandemic, dreaming about the bucket list trip. And I know a lot of people are just thinking, I want to climb something big. I want to see if I can do it. Maybe you can start with just telling me, you know, where are some good places to go in South America if you, you know, kind of want to take that first step from doing really, really difficult trekking or maybe even some light scrambling to, I want to climb, you know, a 5,000 or 6,000 meter peak. You know, where should they be thinking? What countries, what areas?
Well, I think for beginners, for people that want to try out a climb for the first time, I would suggest Colombia and Ecuador as the best options in the continent. And mainly because the summits are not that high as other places like can be Argentina, for example, or Peru. And also it's more of a trekking terrain than actually climbing. So that would be kind of a very good option, I would say, for trying out something like this.
What would be the highest kind of summit, you know, someone could get if they were to, you know, want to go to Colombia and, you know, try and bag their first big peak?
Well, we have one volcano that is very popular. It's called Tolima Volcano, which is located in the central cordillera in the Andes. It is a conic volcano, like the typical, like the kids draw it, you know. Very nice place. What I like of that mountain is that you actually have to hike at least 2 to 3 days to reach the mountain. So it's not something you just drive up to. It implies that you would need to hike there. And that has two advantages. One of them is that you would get a progressive acclimatization before you get to the mountain. And also it reduces, you know, like the flock of people to, you know, people that really wants to kind of, you know, give it a go. And also you get also a little bit in training as you do hike to get to the mountain. So it has like disadvantages. The program we offer there is very good because it starts low. It starts in 2,100 meters and then you hike up to the base camp and it will take you about 3 days to get there. And the camp is located at 4,300 meters. And then you climb the summit, which is 5,221 meters high. It's not technical difficult. It's basically a trek, but it has a glacier. So you have to do a glacier traveling, which means that you would need crampons and you would need a harness and rope. So that also gives a little bit of make it a climb in itself, but still within the levels of most of the people that are in a good shape. And the program is so progressive and goes is well balanced, so people usually are very well acclimatized before the summit attempt.
And so you mentioned there's some glacier travel. So, you know, most people will have not ever been on a glacier before or, you know, never trekked on one. So do you also do some training, you know, do the local guides do some training about, you know, how to use an ice axe, how to walk with crampons, how to go up, you know, steeper areas with crampons?
We don't do like a school, like a glacier school, like we do, for example, in Ecuador, because the summits are bigger and the glacier more complicated. But we do an introduction for it because it's, as I told you, it's basically a trek. So what we teach the person, the people or the team is a little bit how to walk with the crampons and how to use the ICX if that's the case. But it's still a very easy terrain. So pretty much anyone that, you know, is good at hiking would be able to achieve it.
Now, let's talk a little bit about Ecuador. You mentioned Ecuador is a good place to kind of get your first big peak without having a lot of, you know, needing a lot of mountaineering expertise. What are some good peaks there that are good for, you know, a beginner or, you know, a low intermediate to consider?
Well, I would say Cotopaxi is a very good proposal because Cotopaxi is quite a big mountain. It's almost 6,000 meters. It's just below. And it's a mountain that is, first of all, is very beautiful. It's also a conic volcano. It has a much bigger glacier than Tolima. And it's more technical in the way that you would need to go through terrain that it's a little bit more steep. And some places you have to do some crevice jumping. So it takes a little bit more, but still within the reach of most people. Our programs there are also progressive. So it's like we usually advise people to do two or three hiking mountains, hiking summits before they attempt Cotopaxi, because the idea is that when they reach the moment of trying to summit the mountain, they will be as well acclimatized as possible. And we also do a school, glacier school, how we call it, which is something you do the day before you attempt the summit. So where people learn how to walk with the ropes, how to use the IXX and crampons. So that this is could be a very, very nice introduction summit, because it's also not extremely difficult. If you are well acclimatized, you have very good summit chances. And, you know, people with good physical shape and, you know, above all, you know, a lot of motivation. So it's very, very possible to reach the summit. Yeah.
So how high is Cotopaxi?
It's 5,890, I think.
So someone that's coming from sea level, or, you know, most of us live below 1,000 meters, you know, what would the acclimatization, you know, what would you recommend someone that says, okay, I want to climb a big mountain, I'm going to go to Ecuador. You know, how should they plan their trip, you know, from the day they land to, you know, getting actually on top of Cotopaxi?
Well, I think the most important is to plan to have some spare days at the beginning and not try to jump into attempting the mountain too soon, because you might not make it. Or if you make it, you're going to make it in very likely a little bit of a bad shape, in the way that your body is going to be under a lot of pressure. So what I would advise is at least spend 2 to 3 nights in Quito at the beginning, because Quito is already 2,800 meters. So it's already high. And that you can combine it with either doing some cultural stuff, like a city tour or visiting some of the local communities, or do a little bit of hiking that you can also do. And then after that, I would advise to do at least one or two of the trekking summits that are between Quito and Cotopaxi. There's plenty of them. There's Paso Choa, there's Ruco Pichincha, Guagua Pichincha, El Corazon. There's many summits that can be chosen. And in the programs, we usually put one or two of them at least. And then in the programs that like the 10-day, well, 7-10 days programs, we usually try to include the Ilinisa, which is already a high volcano. Ilinisa Norte is a twin peak. That one is 5,165 meters. First of all, it's very fun to climb it. It's an interesting summit because it has a little bit of scrambling close to the top, but also it gives you a very solid acclimatization before attempting a Cotopaxi. So the idea is to do a progressive acclimatization, and we always do use like climbing high in the day and sleeping low. That's the technique we use to, or we try to build our programs on, yeah.
You mentioned sleeping low. So, you know, you go and you climb a volcano, you come down. What elevation are you going to sleep at while you're out climbing these volcanoes?
Well, when you start in Quito, you will be sleeping at 2,800. The acclimatization summits usually are between 4,000 to 4,500 or 800, around there. And you'll be coming back to more or less that altitude, 2,800 to 3,000. And then when you climb Ilinisa, which is a bit higher, we usually include a night at the refuge, which is 4,700. By the time you're going to sleep there, you've been at least one time in that altitude before, just summiting some kind of trekking peak. So that you would get that base beforehand. And then you climb the main summit of Ilinisa, and then you go low back to, could be 3,000 or it could be 3,500 to sleep. And then you attempt Cotopaxi. So that is a very progressive way of adapting the people to the altitude.
What's the normal effect? You know, if you mentioned the kind of a 10-day program where you're going to be spending it, you know, entirely above 2,800 meters, a lot of it, you know, up in the 3,000-4,000 meter range. Do people still deal with, you know, everyone deals with altitude, that, you know, it's harder, you know, you get winded quicker. But are there lots of people that actually have, you know, severe altitude sickness and have to be, you know, taken off the volcanoes or off the mountains?
That really depends on the program people is doing, because some people try to attempt the mountain very fast, and usually they get either, you know, very clear symptoms of altitude sickness, or some even get sick. But usually if you do a 10 days program, like the ones we advise, or even the 7 days program, which are pretty much built with focus on acclimatization, of course, people would have, you know, light headaches and you know, maybe out of breath when they walk, but that's pretty normal. But it would get better as they acclimatized. But it's very low, the incidence of altitude sickness in programs where people have the time to adjust to altitude. So in our programs, we have very little incidence. And most of the time, of course, the day of the summit is going to be hard, and people will have to work hard to get up there. But if they are well acclimatized, they will have a good experience, because when people go short of acclimatization, it's not only hard, but it's sometimes not a very nice experience to be kind of dragging yourself up the hill, right? So that is kind of a difference than just doing it too fast.
My first time at altitude, I was in Nepal, and I'd walked in from the bus where the buses put you off. And so it took me like 14 days to get up to Namche Bazaar. And, you know, I was super well acclimatized, but I remember seeing a train of yaks coming down that Western tourists had been tied onto. They all had severe altitude sickness. They were throwing up. They were almost unconscious. I said, holy crow. But it turned out, I think they'd actually flown into Lukla and then choppered up to like 4,000 meters to a hotel that had a, you know, it was like a really, really expensive hotel that had chambers. And, you know, when you're dealing with altitude, it's never something you can rush. It's always something, spend more time, go slowly, as your program described it, spend some time in Quito, enjoy this incredible city, you know, spend some time doing smaller peaks, because otherwise you're going to end up hating it. It's going to be tough. You might get sick, and you won't ever actually get to where you want to go, because you never took the time to acclimatize properly.
Exactly. Yeah. So it's better to take time. And Ecuador is also a great opportunity if people want to try at 6,000 meters, because Ecuador has one mountain of 6,000 meters, which is called Chimborazo. And that's something that we also sell as an add-on in our programs, or we have programs built also to climb Cotopaxi and then Chimborazo. And it's also a good opportunity. Some people maybe have already climbed 5,000 meters some other places and maybe wants to try a new mountain. So that could be a great chance. It's an relatively easy 6,000 in the way that the terrain is not difficult. There's no major dangers. The mountain is quite safe, but it's of course very high. So usually we advise for programs that are at least 10 days better. You can do it in 7 days if you acclimatize well. But we have 10 days programs which are great, where you can climb both Cotopaxi and Chimborazo, and, you know, at least try, if not summit, the 6,000 meters, yeah.
So one of these big peaks, you know, is it just, you know, you just have a one-day push all the way to the top and back down, or do you do it over 2 or 3 days?
No, the summit days are pretty much 1 day. So, for example, on Cotopaxi, you do the pre-acclimatization, as I described, but then the night before the attempt, well, not even the night before, but the afternoon before the attempt, because you usually start by midnight. You just drive up to a parking place that it's almost 4,500 meters up the mountain. And from there, you hike up to a hut that is called Jose Rivas Hut. From there, you make a short hike to the glacier. Usually people do the training that afternoon, and then back to the hut. They sleep at the hut, and then they go for the summit push that night. So it's just one climb. And then you go down, and they will drive you down, and then you'll be in Quito. Or if you're going to Chimborazo, you'll go to a city that is called Baños, which is an 1,800 meters of altitude. So you lose a huge amount of meters. So that's great for recovery. And Chimborazo, it's about the same way of doing it, but just in a higher altitude. So you drive to 4,800 meters, and then there's two ways of doing it. You can stay up there and make the summit attempt from 4,800 up to 6,300 meters, which is quite of a long push. That's one way. Or there's some other groups that prefer to use one higher camp, and then we can build a camp of around 5,300 meters and then attempt from there. So there's like different techniques according to the groups, yeah.
And then, you know, you mentioned starting off at midnight with headlamps. How long is that summit day? You know, what time do people usually get to the summit? And then when are they back down, driving down to Banos or back to Quito?
Yeah, well, usual summit time in Cotopaxi, it's around 7 to 8 hours up and then 3 down. So it's an 11, 12 hours summit day. And then you got like 2 hours drive from the parking place to Banos. Well, more like 3 hours really, but with stops and everything. And then Chimborazo, that's a bit harder because it's longer. So if you go from the low hut, which is at 4,800, yeah, that's going to take you about 8 to 9 hours to reach the summit, sometimes 10 hours, it depends on the group, and then 3 to 4 down again, yeah.
For these trips, is it normal that people just join a group, or is it better, you know, they come with a few of their friends and have their own kind of private group doing this?
Well, there's both options. Some people like to travel with their friends, and trips can be organized from two people. So it's pretty easy. It can be a private group. And usually people feel very comfortable like that because they know the other people. And, you know, they're quite a bit pressed in this type of activity. So it's good for them to be hanging around with the known ones, right? But the other one is also very popular to join because many people have the time and they want to do the activity, but they don't find anybody or family or friend that can do it, or maybe the dates don't match. So they just can join the international groups. And in our experience is that most of the people in these groups get very well along because everyone has the same interest, which is basically hiking or climbing. It's very easy to make friends and very easy to get along because the people is quite laid back in these type of activities. Yeah.
You know, looking at these 7 and 10 day trips, where do people stay each night? You know, is it just going into little villages or towns, you know, in Ecuador, or do people actually stay in tents at all?
No, in Ecuador it's very comfortable. Most of the times it's huts or hotels, small hotels. So it's pretty comfortable in general terms because you sleep well in a bed, you know, and you get a good meal. So that's very, very nice because infrastructure in Ecuador is really amazing. I mean, you can basically drive up to almost every mountain to the base camps. Yeah, it's incredible. So in that way, it's comfortable and it's nice because people, you know, rest well, you know, and that provides a lot of, that's a lot of help when you're doing this kind of trips, not like in the Himalayas, for example, where you know, days on, you sleep in tents and, you know, a little bit get a bit worn down anyway. So that is very good in Ecuador, the infrastructure they have and the possibilities to, you know, like this one, like you climb, you know, Cotopaxi, which is a very high mountain. And then a few hours later, from standing in the summit, you're standing in 1800 meters in shorts in Banos, you know, having a beer. So it's really, really nice. Yeah.
And then, you know, on our previous podcast, you mentioned how, you know, the mountainous areas of Colombia are still kind of undiscovered, that you may only see, you know, one or two other groups outside from the farms when you're there. What's it like in Ecuador? Is it a lot busier? Are you going to see a lot more climbers, hikers, trekkers, mountaineers compared to Colombia, or is it still, you know, not super busy?
Well, it's not super busy, but it's much more than Colombia, definitely. Yeah, Colombia is very, very undiscovered on this sense. But Ecuador is more popular. Normally, you will find more people like on the big summit, especially Cotopaxi can have a lot of people. And that's because, you know, everybody in a way goes, that's like the aim. So acclimatization is done in different places. Some companies use certain places, some other places. So it's kind of that's a little bit more spread out. But at the end, everybody converges on Cotopaxi or Chimborazo. So it's especially there's some days that can be busy, especially when there's the high season, which is pretty much like Colombia's high season from after Christmas to mid-January. So it can be a bit busy, but otherwise it's not that bad as many other places. That, for example, Aconcagua, that's very busy, you know, because it's also one of the seven summits. But if you're lucky, you won't meet much. But it's not like crazy, like the Alps or something like that. Yeah.
When is a good time? So if people are, you know, thinking, okay, this sounds interesting, I actually want to try. I want to get to one of these high summits. When do you recommend people look at doing these?
The summer, the Andean summer in that part of the world, I'd say Yeah, it's like Colombia, like from mid-December, starting in December, mid-December until the end of March. That's pretty much like safe time to go because the weather is very, very stable. Then again, June, July, August, and September can be done in Ecuador. That's okay. And then again, April, May, and October, November, it's a bit unstable, the weather there. So it changes a lot.
And is it, you know, even if you go when the weather is supposed to be stable, can you still get storms that, you know, mean you got to, you know, push a certain summit out a day or two? Or is it really stable weather that you don't have to worry about there being a rain or a weather event that's going to keep you from getting your summit on a specified day?
Well, yeah, the mountains here are unpredictable. So that can happen. Yeah, of course. But it's very rare it happens. So most of the time you're going to have okay conditions, even if it's maybe a bit foggy or whatever, you can still summit the mountain. So it's more, for example, the wind sometimes can be an issue more than anything else in these mountains. But yeah, as long as you avoid those very bad months like April, May, for example, that's time where you can really get very, very bad conditions. But yeah, there's always a chance that you hit just a bad day, that it suddenly snow when it shouldn't be. And that's how it is. That's mountaineering. Yeah.
Oh, here in the Canadian Rockies, it can snow any day of the year. And quite often you'll look up in August and say, oh no, it actually snowed up high. You know, I know mountain weather. This has been really great, Juan Carlos. I loved hearing about these incredible, you know, essentially kind of like, you know, walking or beginner level summits. And the idea of just, you know, going down to Ecuador, going down to Colombia and exploring these beautiful countries with all the diversity and then also trying to really challenge yourself sounds really appealing after, you know, kind of being stuck for so many people like us stuck at home for so long.
Yeah, after the pandemic, yeah.
Yes. So I really appreciate that. Now, in our last podcast, you mentioned that Colombia was really easy to travel to now in terms of restrictions. What's it like in Ecuador?
Ecuador is also pretty much open. The only thing you need is to take a PCR test 72 hours before you land. That's pretty much it. Yeah. Then, of course, there is the option to go to Galapagos, which is actually a very good possibility to extend your trip and also a very nice way to end your trip after a mountain activity, just to go for a few days to Galapagos. If you go to Galapagos, you need another test. So it's like they're lost city in Colombia, the same thing. You just need to take a test 72 hours before departing for Galapagos. But that can be arranged. And now in Colombia and Ecuador is very easy because there is companies doing that in the hotels for the tourists. So, you know, we just book it and they come and take the test at the hotel. So you don't even need to go to the lab. So it's quite easy to arrange. Yeah.
What an epic trip to go, you know, get your first, you know, big summit and then go and explore the incredible wildlife, diversity, warm weather, water of Galapagos.
Yeah, that sounds really appealing, huh?
You know, everyone's kind of saved up all these vacation days. That sounds like an incredible way to use them. Excellent. Well, thanks for sharing this one, Carlos. It was great having you back on the podcast.
Hey, you're very welcome. Hope to have you soon around here. Yeah.
I can't wait to get traveling again. It's still too early for work. Our kids aren't vaccinated, but you know, once they are, I can't wait to get on a plane again and go and explore the world because I've been missing it for the last couple of years.
Perfect. That sounds great.
Okay. Thanks a lot, Juan Carlos.
Bye-bye.
We hope you enjoyed this episode of the 10 Adventures podcast. If you liked it, why not give us a review? Better yet, subscribe and get inspired again and again. Also, if you want to find your own adventures, why not check out 10adventures.com, where you can use our free resources to plan your own trip or book a tour in over 60 countries and make your own epic memories on your next adventure.